can find this on page 633 of the Church Bibles. Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He set them in place for ever and ever. He gave a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. He has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his saints of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord. Amen.
I'm going to stand and sing from the highest of heights, thinking about the wonder of God's creation. A few technical difficulties today, so there are no pictures. It's a pity because Psalm 148 doesn't lend itself to pictures. So the pictures that would have been there need to be produced by my voice and your imagination. And we are helped by having a psalm that is so full of colour and so full of pictures. This is a series in the summer which is looking at these psalms that end the Book of Psalms. And each of these last five psalms begins and ends with the words, "Praise the Lord," or "Hallelujah." It's a magnificent way to end the Book of Psalms. As Eugene Peterson says, it reminds us that all prayers and songs end in praise. It's not to negate the value of other kinds of prayers. It just reminds us that all prayers will finally come to that terminus of praising God. Sometimes we pray and tears are mingled with our words. Sometimes we pray and questions are mingled with our prayers. Sometimes we pray and we're puzzled. Sometimes we pray and we can't form words. We pray in groans that are too deep for words. But the ending of the Psalter, which is full of all those kinds of prayers, reminds us that all those kinds of prayers will end in praise. We shed our tears in prayer, but we believe that God is the one who will wipe away every tear. We ask our questions in prayer. We wonder why. Why me? Why now? But there will be a time when all questions are resolved, not with an explanation, because probably for most of us, an explanation would be too complicated. Not with an explanation, but a revelation of God who is deeper than all of our questions and more satisfactory than any explanation. Our prayers sometimes express our fears and uncertainties, our inability to even articulate what we need or what we want to say. But God will bring everything to amazing clarity. There is a hallelujah at the beginning and end of these last five psalms in the Psalter. because that's the way God will bring things to a conclusion. All of our prayers eventually come to praise. All of human history will come to praise. There will be that great event when Jesus Christ is glorified and the whole of creation cries, "Hallelujah, for the Lord our God Almighty reigns." So, praise the Lord. In Africa, there would not have been a silent response. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Augustine, in the 5th century, said that the Christian should be a hallelujah from head to toe. Mind and flesh, head to toe. There ought to be something about the Christian that has a hallelujah about it. There ought to be something that communicates the praise and honour of God by our demeanour, the kind of person that we are, our character, our words, our outlook. I wonder if you're a hallelujah person. I wonder whether this idea of this psalm resonates with you, beginning and ending with praise the Lord and hallelujah. How do you become a hallelujah person? How do you become the kind of person that understands this psalm and these last five psalms in the book of Psalms and has this belief that is not eroded by personal circumstances, changes in fortune, this belief that God is at work in the light and the dark, that God is at work in the questions and the answers. God is at work today, Jersey Baptist Church. God is at work in your life, and everything eventually will come to praise. Well, one of the ways that we learn to be a hallelujah person is to look around us and to consider what is about us in our world. So the psalm has two main halves, 1-6, and then 7 following. And the psalmist says that we praise the Lord as we observe how the heavens and the earth praise the Lord. So the first 6 verses remind us that there are these commands that are issued by the psalmist to the heavens to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens, praise him the highest heights above, praise him all the angels, praise him all the heavenly hosts. An invitation, a command for the creation, the heavens, to praise God. Now, some people have been gathering in America to see a total eclipse. And that's quite an event. The first time I came to Jersey Baptist Church, I preached a series of sermons that summer. It was before flights were cheap, so people needed to come for 3 weeks. You needed to stay and really hunker down for a while. So I was preaching on a few texts from Mark. And I preached on the Lord Jesus being on the cross engulfed by darkness. And we thought about the eclipse that had happened around about the end of the last millennium. That's how long I've been coming. Some people have been gathering over the last little while to look at the total eclipse of the sun. It's amazing. Some people, I don't know if it kind of reached all the way down here, but certainly on the mainland, some people were looking at that amazing dance of stars that happened last weekend, shooting stars flying across the sky. We did peek out of our curtains at a certain point in the evening, but we had cloud cover. So although it was all happening, we didn't see it. The heavens do praise God by doing what they do. The sun shines. The stars shed their light. The earth and the planets move at their appropriate speed. We live and we are existing because of the conditions of the world in which we've been made. Now, this first half of the psalm has this purpose. It wants to say to the people of the ancient world, and it wants to say to us, that there is only one God who is worthy of praise. There's only one being in the universe that's worthy of our ultimate attention, and that is the living God. In the ancient world, people worshipped the sun. So in Egypt, Ra, the sun god, was the chief god. For those in the world that Abraham and the people of Israel came from, or the Chaldees, the main worship was of the moon. Some people worship and venerate the movement of the stars. There are still people that flick through their newspaper or magazine to see what the stars might say to them about the future. It's astonishing how many clever people think that somehow the sun, the moon, and the stars have some bearing on their future. And what the psalmist is making very clear is that the head honcho, the real main man, is God. That God is the one who is the maker of the sun and the moon and the stars. That we don't worship what the maker has made, we worship the maker. Of course, it's a very important lesson, isn't it? Because the ultimate distraction for every human being is to be preoccupied with the gifts that God gives rather than the giver. To be preoccupied with what is made rather than maker. What an amazing sunset. What an amazing God. What an amazing sunrise. What an amazing God. What an amazing star-studded sky. What an amazing God. We can be drawn to God's works and God's gifts and be distracted by them so that we don't see the one who is the creator. The heavens themselves, they are not so distracted. They do just what God has told them to do. They're in their place. They're in their order. They are praising by being there. What do they say? Is it 99% of success is turning up? Well, the heavens do turn up. The sun does turn up every morning. As long as the earth exists, seed time and harvest, day and night, cold and night, will never cease. There is only one God. And it's very important if we're to be a hallelujah person to recognize how big he is. He is the one who conducts the symphony of the universe. And he is praised by the universe set in its place. And we are to praise him too. We are to catch up with what the heavens do instinctively. Praise him. Praise him. And that's what they do day by day. And then 7 through to 14, the idea of praising from the earth. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and ocean depths. One song puts it like this: all creation is a song waiting to be sung, all of nature like a prayer waiting for a tongue. When we look at the order of creation, we see that from the earth there is praise to God. The snow falls and its twirling praises the God who made it. The fire roars, the cow moos, the birds sing. You see on a windy day that the trees blowing, almost waving their hands in worship to the living God. You see the chattering of chimps. You see a dog with its tail wagging joyfully when it sees you. All of those things are praise to the Creator, as those he has made do what he has made them to do. Praise him in the earth. And we can learn a lesson, can't we, in becoming hallelujah people by observing how the inanimate creation praises God by being what it's intended to be. Laying a free-range egg, delivering a pint of Jersey milk. Praising the Creator day after day. It's been said that we learn to praise, not by paying compliments, but by paying attention. We learn to praise, not by paying compliments, but by paying attention, by noticing what's going on and seeing what God is doing. Seeing God's goodness in the world, seeing God's kindness in the world, and praising him for it. So where do we fit in? Verse 11, kings of the earth and all the nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and maidens, old men and children. God's praise is incomplete without us. Yes, God is praised by the heavens. God is praised by the creatures that serve him by doing what they have been programmed to do by the Creator. But the praise is not complete until those who have been made in the image of God, who have received the particular privilege of his revelation and the gift of his Son, begin to look up to their Creator and praise him for what he has done for them. Do you notice that praise is the great leveler? The kings and the princes, the young men, the maidens, the old men and children, ordinary people, young people, older people, people of rank, everybody. There is nobody so important or so special that God should not turn our eye and our heads, that God should not be noticed by us. No one is so important that God can be somehow written out of the script of their lives. Come on. Come on, everybody. Praise him. Here's the choir. Here's the choir that praises God, the whole of creation, and the crown of creation, human beings made in the image of God. What they have in common, every human being who is switched on to God, is a joyful preoccupation with the living God. You are God, and I praise you. Let them, verse 13, praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted, his splendor is above the earth and the heavens. God is exalted. There is no one like him. He is number one. He is unrivaled. Therefore, praise him. Why is it good to be a hallelujah person? Being a hallelujah person connects us with what's central in the universe. It centers us on the center of the universe, the one true and living God. It promotes our spiritual health. Someone said that praise is almost like inner health made audible. Our inner health made audible by not praising ourselves, not drawing attention to ourselves, but drawing attention to God. There's a strange turn at the end of the psalm as something else is introduced. Something else, but yet maybe the secret of all that we've been thinking about so far. He has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his saints, of Israel, the people close to his heart, praise the Lord. He has raised up a horn of salvation. What a strange kind of concept. The horn was an image of great power, of astonishing strength, and God has raised up a horn for his people. Are we in trouble? Are we vulnerable? Are we uncertain? Well, God has raised up a horn for us. God is our strength. God enables us. God rescues us. And that's true through the ages. It's interesting that in the New Testament, in those songs that sung in Luke chapter 1. We read in verse 69, this verse quoted, "He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." And there, Zechariah is picking up the phrase from this psalm and applying it to Jesus. How weak we are. How unable we are to know God. How unable we are to please God. How unable we are to be rescued from ourselves, to be made new. How unable we are. But God has raised up a horn for us. A rescuer. The remarkable thing is that the Creator has stepped into his creation. The author has stepped into his story. The strong one who is to be praised has stepped amongst his weak creatures in order that not only might he make them, but he might redeem them, deliver them, rescue them, bring them back to himself, that we might be part of that people that are close to God's heart. What about you? Are you a hallelujah person? Are you a hallelujah person characterized by the awareness that the Creator God has made all things and made you? That the Creator God knows you and your circumstances. He knows you and he loves you. And he's moved heaven and earth to rescue you and to bring you into relationship with himself. Are you a hallelujah person? Have your eyes been opened? Have you begun to pay attention? Well, that very famous Christian, Billy Bray of Cornwall, used to say that when he walked, and I'll be walking a bit in Jersey, I'll perhaps walk a bit this afternoon to make up for some of you people that are sitting this afternoon. And he said, when he walked, one foot would be praise the Lord, and the other foot would be hallelujah. Praise the Lord, hallelujah, praise the Lord, hallelujah. It's very easy to remember. You know, if you walk, praise the Lord, hallelujah, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Just a reminder to just look above the ordinary, to look above the commonplace and see the one who is high above all. Let's pray. I don't want to miss a note, living God, in the chorus of praise, nor overlook anything praiseworthy, nor forget any benefit, nor slight anyone or anything in my advertising of your glory. Help me to be a hallelujah person. Help me to praise your name, to exalt you. Help me to take a leaf out of the book of the starry universe and inanimate creation. Help me to join in the tune and to proclaim your praise. Father, I can't do it by myself. I am weak, I am sinful, I am self-absorbed. But you have raised up a horn. You've raised up a rescuer. When we were powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Oh, we feel powerless to give our full attention to you, but we thank you that you've given us a rescuer, rescuing us from our self-interest, our curved in on ourselfness. Oh Lord God, we pray that we might know the full power of your rescue today, that we with full hearts might return to you the praise that is due to your name, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.